I need you. You need me. We're all a part of one body. Last week at our General Assembly reminded us all that we do indeed need one another, and we're part of a greater whole. We need each other to make it through these challenging times and support one another. Stand with me, agree with me, we're all a part of one body. We need each other to help create systemic change for better in this country. We need each other to dismantle racism and oppression that has plagued this country for over 400 years. It is our will that every need be supplied. All of these are too great a task to undertake alone, but gathered together with intention, care, and determination, we can help each other, our communities, our faith and country, not only to survive, but thrive. You are important to me. I need you to survive. That is what our universalist faith is all about. We're only free if everyone is free. We need each other to survive. And that was made abundantly clear last week when almost 5,000 UUs gathered from around the world. We congregated to connect, to learn, to sing, and to address the many issues facing our faith and planet right now. Workshops and worship ran all day, starting at 6 in the morning and going well into the night. And about a dozen Chalice members were there with me taking advantage of this amazing opportunity to do GA online. Now, it was actually meant to take place in Providence, Rhode Island, where they are commemorating the 400-year anniversary of the landing of the Mayflower. This nation of ours has a tendency to celebrate the conquerors at the expense of the conquered. So to begin to make amends as Unitarian Universalists, we took it as an opportunity to honor and support the indigenous people from that area, the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe. They have been there for 12,000 years, long before the pilgrims set foot and appropriated their lands. And I'm sorry to say that in recent months, the government is again in the process of trying to strip the Wampanoag of their rights and remaining ancestral lands. And the UUA is urging us to act in solidarity with the Mashpee Wampanoag and push back against this latest aggression. And if you'd like to learn more and help, you can go to this link that's being put in the chat now. And by the way, at the end of the service, you can save the chat and you'll get all the links that we've shared. So with the blatant impact of white supremacy culture in evidence as we were meeting, GA called on us to deal with systemic oppression and racism in many different ways. And I was particularly inspired by some of the larger structural changes that we are undertaking as a denomination. For the last 3 years, a Commission on Institutional Change appointed by the UUA board has been taking a deep look at what we need to do as a faith to be more inclusive and anti-oppressive. It has been examining how we create both cultural and institutional change within Unitarian Universalism to move from being a white-centric faith to a more welcoming multicultural denomination. The Commission's report, Widening the Circle of Concern, released at GA, covers a broad range of topics around religious life. They examined our theology, our governance, and what changes need to be made in congregations and communities. They studied how to better live our values in the world and improve hospitality and inclusion. They looked at how to educate for liberation, implement restoration and reparations, as well as accountability and resources, and invited us to take risks and innovate. I'm going to be immersing myself in the report during my upcoming study leave and look forward to sharing its recommendations with you over the coming year. The goal is to transform our faith movement into one that is more innovative, more loving, more equitable and inclusive for all, to lead the way in systemic institutional change. Another enormously important initiative that was launched this General Assembly is a review of our principles and purposes. According to the UUA bylaws, our principles and purposes are to be studied every 15 years so nothing becomes accidentally creedal. However, they've not been revised since 1987, over 33 years. So this came as a big surprise to me, as I might imagine it does to you too. Change our beloved principles, especially now that I have them up on the wall behind me. But the board reminded us that our principles should be a living document rather than a fixed statement of faith. They should be relevant to our times and communicate our core values succinctly and even poetically if possible. In 2017, the General Assembly had voted to study adding a possible eighth principle to our seven principles about journeying towards spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community by our actions that accountably dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions. But this year, instead of adding an eighth principle and making incremental changes in the others, the UUA board decided to appoint the study commission to examine all our principles and purposes and remake them. They believe that our commitment to personal, institution, and cultural change rooted in anti-oppression, anti-racism, and multiculturalism values and practices is love in action and should be centered in any revision. In fact, often when I describe to people what our faith is all about, I say it's about love in action. So over the next 2 years, this commission will make recommendations to revise our principles and purposes for the current time through the lens of being an anti-racist, anti-oppressive, multicultural faith. And they will reach out to congregations and leadership bodies in Unitarian Universalism to hopefully come up with meaningful, memorable, and powerful changes. The goal is to create and live into a Unitarian Universalism of the future. A Unitarian Universalism that holds us in times of great need and ethical, moral, and spiritual crises. And they ask that the new principles and purposes guide us in the transformation of ourselves, our communities, and our faith into active networks of collective care, restoration, and justice. They should ask us to choose love in action as the path forward. Needless to say, this is an inspiring, complex, and innovative undertaking for our association over the next 2 years. And it reminded me of these words by eco-activist Rebecca Solnit. Hope locates itself in the premises that we don't know what will happen, and that in the spaciousness of uncertainty, is room to act. In the spaciousness of uncertainty is room to act. My friends, may we indeed act for the betterment of our society and our faith in that spaciousness of uncertainty, remembering that I need you and you need me, and that we're all part of one body. So let's now hear some others' inspiration from GA, beginning with Randall Edwards, and then Pamela Lopez, and finally Susan Dixon. Randall?
When Reverend Nika asked us to share about our greatest takeaway from the 2020 GA, I thought, that's going to be hard. After 5 days of worship services, workshops, business meetings, reflection sessions, and more, and actually, it was more than 5 days, because since it was happening virtually, you could go back and see everything, watch everything that was taking place concurrently. I couldn't tell you what I love the most. Why we want and resist diversity? That was pretty impactful. But then there was Chris Crass's having anti-racist conversations and inviting into action. There were others like Beyond the Mayflower, A Path to Atonement, or Colonialism and Covenants. I grew up in Massachusetts on the land of the Wampanoag Indians. depicted in the Thanksgiving myth. But then there were the general session business meetings, laboring over language changes to be more inclusive, or discussing supporting Black Lives Matter in the midst of seemingly endless real-time new reports of racial justice atrocities in our world. My greatest takeaway, folks, that this Unitarian Universalist faith is alive. It's living, active, evolving. It's responsive to our growing understandings and learnings about justice and what it means to truly make the world a better place. And just like our chalice mission calls me to be spiritually courageous, Unitarian Universalism is calling me each day anew to step up to becoming my better self. It's challenging me each day anew to truly live into our values. It's offering me each day anew nourishment and inspiration for the journey. And just like they say about democracy, if I'm to take it to heart, it's not a spectator sport. There are no one and dones. And at this time, this moment of moral reckoning, perhaps like no other before, it's a call to action.
Good morning. I'm Pamela Lopez. I grew up in Jericho, Long Island, New York, which was settled simultaneously by Quaker farmers and members of the Matinacock and Merrick tribes who landed there after European settlers took over much of New York in the mid-1600s. I recently learned that it was a stop on the Underground Railroad. My experience of diversity growing up was non-existent. Our upper middle class community was almost exclusively white, with schools that consistently scored in the top five school districts in the country. However, beyond learning about slavery, the Civil War, and civil rights era, our education on Black America was also non-existent. I was always aware of my white privilege because we were taught that we were dealt the better hand, that more opportunities were available to us. At the same time, I was told there is no difference between Black and white people, but just be grateful you're white. Wow. They finally started offering Black history classes in college. I saw no reason to take it because I wasn't Black. For several years at Chalice, we have been exploring our racist, white supremacist views and culture, but it wasn't until this General Assembly that things broke wide open for me. I experienced a profound, deep grief and a feeling of betrayal at the realization that of all of the knowledge that had been intentionally withheld from us for generations. I am appalled at my arrogance, at my feeling of good luck, while obviously, cluelessly oblivious. At age 62, I am finally doing the deep dive into the work that will open these doors. So now when I'm doing at-home activism or out there on the streets standing with and for Black lives, immigrant and Muslim lives, it is with a greater passion, connection and understanding, especially with those from whom I was kept separate through the white supremacist culture that none of us chose. Dismantling this culture is the only way we can truly become one beautiful, diverse community. And that's the world I want to live in, that we all need to live in, to become that sustainable, just society that works for all.
Good morning. When I heard I could attend this year's GA for only $150, I jumped on it. I was like a kid in the candy store. Fantastic music. Thought-provoking talks about the uncertainty of today, possibilities for tomorrow, heart-wrenching stories about Indigenous people and people of color, and that wonderful spiritual feeling of connecting with the UU spirit of life. I was personally changed by this GA. Recently, there was an ACORN letter to the editor titled, "Is Everyone Racist These Days?" The writer wrote this letter complaining that it took several hundred years and many righteous people to build the most just, radically diverse society in the history of civilization, and only 6 weeks to destroy it. He came to this conclusion because of the new anti-racist policies and actions that have come about from all this recent police brutality and anti-racist protest. I was pissed and defensive, so I drafted a rebuttal letter to the editor, suggesting that if he were to walk in a black man's shoes for just one day, he might begin to get a glimpse of how racism feels. I argued each and every one of his racist points. I almost sent my letter had it not been for GA. I learned that it is a waste of time and energy to debate with active racists. I learned that it would be better for me to focus my anti-racist efforts on folks who are undecided about this issue. And most importantly, I learned to calm down and share my deep compassion of how heartbroken I am, learning about how we got to this place and witnessing all the ongoing racism of our time. Chris Crass, the workshop leader of these lessons, stated that we have accomplished more in the last 7 weeks than we could have in 7 years. The world is watching right now, which makes this the perfect time to make some inroads and lasting changes towards anti-racism.
Thank you all so much for sharing your heartfelt experience and learning from GA. And if you've never been to GA, I really encourage you to join us next year, as it's a treasure trove full of wider knowledge, challenge, learning, and connections. And now you'll always be able to participate virtually if you wish, going forward. So that's a great gift, and it makes it much more manageable for everybody. And if you'd like further resources on how to deal with racism and become part of this important movement, we've prepared a document filled with movies, books, TV shows, TED Talks, articles, and other resources for you at this link, which is now being put in the chat. And I wanted to say the exciting joy that we had about 75 people show up at our congregational conversation on race last Thursday night. So this is a great move in a strong direction. And I look forward to more and more of you joining with us in this really important work. And begin by taking a look at this 7 pages of resources we created for you. There's many different ways to engage, and I invite you to become more familiar with it all. It is time now that we thrive, my friends. And despite all that is going on in this great turning, may we continue to have courage and to learn to lead in love. Blessed be.